We've come together at this hour to mourn the loss of Dan Wonderly, but we've also come here today to give thanks to God for his life. And on behalf of our church and Dan's church, I would like to extend my sympathies and our sympathies to Edna and to Philip and Eunice and their families and all of Dan's relatives and all his loved ones. I want to announce before we begin our service that we will not be going to the family cemetery for the burial, but because of wet conditions from the rain yesterday and today, the committal service will be at the end of this service, right before we do the hymn, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee. So that will be added to this service. Also, following the conclusion of our services, everyone is welcome and invited to walk down to the other end of the church building where a dinner has or lunch has been prepared, and the family would like to extend an invitation to all of you to join them for lunch at the end of our time here in the sanctuary. Also, I want to just mention that assisting in this service are Eunice Wonderly Stackhouse at the piano. She has requested to play at her dad's funeral. Lance Rhodes, Wayne Callis, and Herb Stewart are here on the platform with me. And also our pallbearers and honorary pallbearers are all men who are colleagues of Dan's from our church and different leaders in our church. And those have been requested by Edna. Let's begin with a moment of prayer, and then we'll go to our first hymn. Father, we commit this time to you. And we especially want to pray for Edna and for Eunice and Philip, for their families, for those not able to be with us today, and for all these loved ones and relatives and friends of Dan Wonderly. We pray, Lord, that you would use this time to strengthen us in our faith, to give us an increased hope and expectation of being with you in paradise. And Lord, that you would use this time to draw us closer to you and to lead us further on the way following Christ through this lifetime. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The two hymns we will sing this afternoon are both requested by Edna, and they were both played 55 years ago at her and Dan's wedding. So would you please turn in your red hymn books to hymn number 43, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Shall we stand and sing? Oh,
Dan requested that this autobiography be read at his funeral. And if you would like to have a copy, there are copies on the back table back there that you can take when you leave. The purpose of this brief autobiography is to give praise and honor to God for his gracious and loving care and guidance throughout my life, and to inform people who are not familiar with my past efforts in the work of Christ's kingdom. When I was 17 years old, at a Bible conference conducted by Columbia Bible College, Christian leaders who had first given themselves unreservedly to God led me to see that I should do the same and to serve him from that time on. Serving the Lord in my home community became a pleasure and put true meaning into my life. After graduating from Oakland High School, I attended Southeastern Bible College in Birmingham, Alabama for 2 years. Those 2 years of intensive Bible study set the primary pattern of my thinking and of my service to God for the rest of my life. Next came 3 years of service in the U.S. Army during World War II. God and his guidance were very real to me throughout those years, and he miraculously did many things to protect me from harm, both here in the U.S. and overseas. After the close of the war came the completing of my college work. In a Christian college. During that time at Wheaton College, I continued to seek God's true guidance for each decision I needed to make and for my daily work. As a result, the Lord guided me in taking courses from godly instructors, which benefited my work for the remaining years of my life. God also definitely and wonderfully guided me in giving me the loving, helpful, and capable wife, Edna, who has contributed greatly to whatever successes I have had in God's work wherever we have gone. Later, he gave us 2 precious children who have been a great blessing in our lives and who have chosen to follow the Lord in their own lives. While studying at Central Baptist Seminary, the Lord graciously made it possible for me to receive both the Standard Divinity degree and a Master of Theology. During that time, Edna and I had the benefit of attending and working some in the Temple Baptist Church in Kansas City. The pastor, Dr. R. L. Decker, was an outstanding conservative evangelical leader at that time and greatly loved and humbly helped the group of us seminary students who attended the church which he pastored. After I graduated from the seminary, Edna, Eunice, and I moved to Birmingham, Alabama, where I taught full-time in Southeastern Bible College for 3 years. During that time, arrangements were made for me to go back to Kansas City and be ordained for the Christian ministry, with a special emphasis on Christian teaching. It has been especially meaningful to me ever since to see at the bottom of my ordination certificate the large print words, "Set for the Defense of the Gospel." The 3 years of teaching at Southwestern Bible College were an opportunity given to us from the Lord, and we are thankful that several of the students we taught are doing excellent work on mission fields in various parts of the world. Following those 3 years, the Lord led that we move to northern Missouri and pastor some small churches there for a few years. Then, after a large number of events of God's wonderful guidance and help, he led me to take extensive further training to help fill the great need for college science teachers who fully believe the Bible. Thus, in 1958, when I was 36 years old, Edna and I and our 2 children, Eunice and Philip, moved from Missouri east for me to attend Ohio University for further science training. The Lord wonderfully helped, sustained, and guided us in this undertaking. We constantly had reason to praise him as we saw him opening doors and protecting and providing for us in his own gracious ways. In 1960, I thus completed the work for my research master's degree in biology and began to teach in January 1961. After teaching for 5 years in Wingate College in North Carolina, the Lord led us to Grace College in Indiana to help establish a standard biology department. During the 7 years of science teaching there, I included instruction for the students regarding the weaknesses and harm of evolutionism. During our years in Indiana, our children benefited greatly from the well-planned youth program of our church. After finishing high school, they both entered Grace College and agreed with us that a Christian college is a wise choice for young people who have just finished high school. During this time, Edna continued to use the training she had in both Christian education and public school education. In 1973, my mother was needing help because my father had died, so we came to Maryland in 1974. In all of this, and ever since, Edna and I have carefully sought God's guidance for what he wanted us to do to help in the misunderstanding which was being promoted by extreme creationist leaders in many of the Christian schools and colleges of the U.S. and Canada. As a result, the Lord led us to devote a large part of our efforts from 1973 to the present time to the study of sedimentary geology and the teaching of how it helps us to understand and appreciate the biblical account of creation. Between 1974 and 1977, the Lord made it possible for me to write the book God's Time, Records in Ancient Sediments, to explain to Christian people what the sedimentary rock layers of the earth are like and why most of them required long periods of time to be deposited and converted into types of rock. Helping Christians to learn this kind of information has been my primary work since 1973, and this work is needed more now than ever. Christians need to reject evolutionism, but when they reject true scientific discoveries, they bring disgrace upon the Bible and Christianity. I tried to emphasize this in my 1987 book, which was published by the Interdisciplinary Biblical Research Institute. In closing, I wish to express my great and profound appreciation to my loving and capable wife, Edna, who has supported me faithfully in all this work. As many of you know, I have kept the house cluttered with practically a whole library of books, papers, research reports, magazines, journals, and letters regarding geology and its proper relation to Christianity, as well as having hundreds of pounds of rocks and fossils in the house. Edna has never complained about this because she knows that they are necessary for my work and also because she understands a lot of them herself. She has also spent thousands of hours typing and proofreading nearly everything which I have written during the past 40 years with love and no complaining. Edna and I are both firmly convinced that only what is done for God and for Christ's kingdom has permanent value. So we try to put the emphasis on kinds of work which will continue to have value long after we have departed from this world. A motto which has greatly helped me ever since I was about 14 years old is, "Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last." I hope that all who attend my funeral or who read a copy of this brief autobiography will remember this and will try to spend the rest of their lives doing whatever Christ wants you to do. If you don't know what he wants you to do, ask him sincerely each day to guide you and then obey his guidance. Sincerely, Dan Wonderly.
I'm going to do some readings from the book of Psalms, and it's Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears towards their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned.
Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we send to you today one of our finest, Dan Wonderly. We don't want to mourn for Dan. We want to remember him for all the wonderful things he accomplished in his life. while serving the Lord. For more than 50 years, he was married to the love of his life, his wife Edna. He and Edna raised two fine children. There was his lifetime of teaching, and also, Lord, his commitment to serving you, our church, and his passion for missions. We all could use Dan's spiritual life as a yardstick to measure our own walk with you. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of knowing Dan. I know he'll be a big help to you and your kingdom. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'd like to read three short verses from the book of Colossians that are among my favorite writings from the Apostle Paul. This is Colossians 4, verses 2, 3, and 4. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God may open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, in order that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. I don't think I've ever used this particular passage as the basis for a funeral message, but I've done so deliberately for Dan's today, and I hope you'll see why in the next few minutes. All of my life, I have heard a particular term spoken about certain individual lay people in churches who were keys and leaders and pioneers in a variety of ways. Maybe as Sunday school teachers or musicians, music leaders, or administrators, or in a number of other ways. And the term has often been spoken after that person's death, although I've heard it spoken of them throughout their lives, too. And this term is appropriately applied to Dan Wunderly today. The term I've so often heard throughout my life is that so-and-so was a pillar in the church. And without a doubt, Dan was a pillar in this church. Over the past month or so, as I've witnessed Dan's decline and demise, it pretty quickly occurred to me that of all the interests and passions that Dan had in the church, there were three that stood out, in my opinion, more than the others. And we might call these the three pillars in Dan's ministry in the church. So they're kind of the pillars of a pillar, you might say. Now, you might be thinking that these three pillars were what held Dan up, like pillars do. But I like to think of them as three pillars that Dan helped build for the church. And these three pillars are found ingrained in this passage that I read from Colossians 4. And the first is really the most obvious one in this passage. The first is the pillar of prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer, Paul says, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Paul was suggesting and really imploring these Colossian Christians to not dabble in prayer and not give lip service to prayer, but to be devoted to prayer. And if you knew Dan Wunderly at all, you knew that Dan Wonderly was devoted to prayer. Dan had a unique way of beginning a prayer. I think just about every time I ever heard him pray, he used this beginning, this opening. And here it is, as best I can remember. Our Father, we continue to come to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Two things about that opening to Dan's prayers have impressed me over these years. And the first thing was that word, continue. We continue to come to you in the name of Jesus. That word is evidence that his life, Dan's life, proceeded on in dependence on God in a consistent and ongoing way. It continued. The other thing about that opening was that he began his prayer in Jesus' name. He said, we continue to come to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, usually we Christians, and I do this myself, and it's not wrong. Usually we Christians end our prayers by saying, in Jesus' name, we pray, amen. But Dan started out his prayer using Jesus' name. And it was like he wanted to start on the best, strongest step as he prayed and make sure his whole prayer got covered by the name of Christ. Dan was devoted to this first pillar in his church life, the pillar of prayer. Now, the second pillar that we find in this passage is really the toughest one to see here, but it's definitely in this passage. And we need to listen just to the beginning of verse 3, where Paul says, he's just introduced the subject of prayer and their need to pray, and then he says, praying at the same time for us as well. Praying at the same time for us as well. That little two-letter word, us, is what I'm thinking about. It's a very telling word Paul uses. One of the things I need to say here today is what an important word us is to the Christian life. Now, by the way, I haven't gotten to this second pillar, but I just want to comment on this for a moment. It's a word many of us forget, or we choose to neglect, I'm sorry to say. It's so important because the Christian life is supposed to be an us experience. Far too often, we isolate and insulate ourselves from others and try to make following Jesus an individual experience. It is an individual experience only so far. We are to love God and, beginning with our families, love others. Those are both the greatest commandments, Jesus said. Paul wasn't the Lone Ranger. He said, pray for us. Now, to identify this second pillar using this word us, just who was the us for whom Paul was requesting this prayer? Well, it was two people. It was Paul, of course, who's part of the us. The other one was a young man named Timothy. If you look back at the very beginning of this book of Colossians, in verse 1, Paul says he is with Timothy as he composed this letter to the Colossians. Timothy was a youth when Paul met him, and he began to disciple him on one of his missionary journeys. So there was some age difference, and it might have been a significant age difference between Paul and Timothy. But there was also a special endearment between these two men. Now, you know, Paul wrote two letters to Timothy. And at the beginning of his first letter to Timothy, Paul called him my true child in the faith. And at the beginning of the second letter, he uses an even dearer term where he calls him my beloved son. And you know, it's significant that that second letter to Timothy was the last thing Paul wrote before he was martyred. He sent his final thoughts to Timothy. So just what pillar in Dan's life does Paul's relationship with Timothy point to? Well, it highlights Dan's pillar of concern for youth. I didn't say you, I said youth. I don't mean Dan was trying to find a fountain of youth or tried to look younger or act younger than his years. But what I mean, and I don't know that everyone knew this, although I'm certain many of you did, but Dan had a burden for youth. He cared for youth, especially the youth of this church and this community. I remember one of the first letters I received from Dan, and as many of you know, Dan was a famous letter writer. And in one of the first letters I received from Dan, he pointed out the importance of the ministry of Youth for Christ here in Garrett County. When I first arrived here as pastor, Dan was utilizing the youth in our church to read missionary letters right at this pulpit during worship. So how commendable it was of Dan, though he was in his latter years, to be mindful and, I'm sure, prayerful of today's youth and their spiritual needs. So the second pillar Dan fashioned in his... in order that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. What was Paul doing? What was his role in life as he wrote this letter and his other letters in the New Testament? He was a missionary. And here in this letter, he was asking these Christians to pray that God would help him as he proclaimed Christ. For open doors to preach in mission fields where Christ had not been preached, and for clarity in expressing as he preached. So the third pillar that Dan worked on so diligently was the pillar of missions. He and Edna and several others about 30 years ago had the foresight and the vision to begin a missions program here in our church. Dan was the very heartbeat of missions in this church for many years. And over the past 2 or 3 years, as Dan's health declined, the missionaries that we have supported long term, people like Eugene and Sandy Thomas, and Ed and Charlotte Lockstamper, and Carol Swain, and Frank and Nancy Stottlemyre, they would frequently ask of Dan in their emails or letters. And when they had the opportunity to be here physically, they often would go out to Pleasant Valley and visit Dan and Edna at home. And so the third pillar was the pillar of missions. Now I want to conclude by saying a couple of things, especially for our church, in light of the fact that this pillar of our church has been removed and is now repositioned in the architecture of heaven. Dan, you know, was devoted to geology, stones, and rocks. And so it's appropriate to remember that the earthen fabrication that the Bible uses to refer to a believer is not a pillar, but a simple earthen vessel, little piece of pottery, often with cracks and chips. And whatever cracks and chips you and I have as Christians, whatever cracks and chips Dan had in this life, when we get to heaven, will have been removed and perfected in heaven in a process the Bible calls glorification. Let's remember, too, that a pillar is not to be confused with the cornerstone of a church. Pillars are important in the church, and we thank God for them. But pillars aren't the object of our worship. The object of our worship needs to be Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. And if one of our pillars falls or is removed, the chief cornerstone will hold us up. Dan Wunderlich was an integral part of this congregation. But even though this pillar has fallen, the church is not going to collapse. Christ will hold us up and continue to build. And let's be mindful that one of the ways the Holy Spirit does just that is by crafting and forming and developing new pillars in the structure. If you're part of this church, I want to ask you today, are you going to be one of them? A healthy church raises new pillars without forgetting past pillars, the old pillars, but instead building upon what they have done. How did that greatest of pillars of the church, the Apostle Paul, put it? He said, "According to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building upon it. But let each man be careful how he builds upon it, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." The foundation upon which this pillar, Dan Wunderlich, rested and was built was the living Son of God, a living stone, Jesus Christ. Faith in Him has brought Dan to heaven. And faith in Jesus Christ will bring you to heaven someday if you know Christ, if you believe in Christ personally, and if you live with Christ in your life. For the committal part of our time together, I'd like to read for you the familiar verses of Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. For as much as the spirit of Daniel E. Wunderlich has entered into the life immortal, we therefore commit his body to its resting place. But his spirit we commend to God, remembering how Jesus said upon the cross, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this day that you are a Father who is not at a distance, but right here with us, lovingly and tenderly watching over our lives and providing for our needs, guiding, nurturing, feeding, protecting. And Lord, it is to you, our Heavenly Father, that I ask these things for Edna and Eunice and Philip and their families and all Dan's loved ones here, that you would comfort them in these days of mourning, that you would be with Edna as she bids farewell to this long-time partner. And I pray, Lord, that you would watch over them and supply their needs in the days to come. And we pray, Lord, that just as you used Dan in many ways as a guide and shepherd in our lives, that we would follow you even closer now as our nearest and dearest guide and shepherd. Lead us and direct us, O Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'd like you to turn in your hymn books for our closing hymn. It's number 451, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee. Number 451. Shall we stand and sing? Now please receive the benediction. And the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. And all God's people said, Amen. You may be seated for a few moments.